ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Guess what? The Travis Bone in the first segment and yep. Banana Bread. No extra charge, everybody.
What?
No extra charge. Enjoy. Did you bring enough for everybody in the country?
I did.
Is that going to be a premium for our Free Speech TV fund drive?
Sure. Give like now at freespeech.org.
It'll be like a brick by the time it gets to it.
There you go.
Did All you right. make the banana bread?
No, I did not make the banana bread. My friend Ross did.
Oh.
He's a professional baker.
Wow, how about
yes.
that?
Could it get any homier around here? Good morning, America.
The only thing homier is if we had another earthquake. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, what a cooking segment.
Oh, my God. Did you read that? But, oh, first of all, can I just say we are the bravest morning crew in
know,
television.
Right?
We didn't dive out of the table.
You pusses. Everybody, yeah, did you?
Oh, go Channel Ooh. 5.
Ooh. Everybody, Ooh. We got some. What? Does an earthquake come from up above? What was that? Ooh, did you see the local anchor? He goes, earthquake, earthquake.
Well, they're pointing at the giant lights
yeah,
over their
head. Yeah, the giant lights over their head. So I yeah.
Like, what?
We have giant lights over our heads.
Yeah.
We didn't panic.
I think enough. We are either too old, tired, drunk to have reacted. So I don't know whether, but everyone thinks we're really brave. Because all the it's going around the interwebs, all the local L.A. anchors freaking out during
yeah.
the earthquake. We were on live. What did we do? Jim and
but
I were
I
like...
Could tell, eh. I could tell we were on bedrock. So, we're going to be fine.
You just thought it was me dropping a keg upstairs for your St. Patty's Day party.
That's right.
And we thought it was just Max coming down the stairs as usual. We were like, eh.
It happens.
You were because you're the most high-strung of all of us.
Yeah.
Your eyes got a little bit Roger Rabbity, but that was about it. You were just like...
Ooga. Well, I was looking at that big, heavy cabinet behind
oh,
you.
That.
Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Oh,
yeah.
Is that some modicum of concern for me?
No, I was afraid I'd have to clean it up.
You might be hitting the head by your own ass.
I know, that would be... The irony of that would be amazing.
I don't know if Natan can get a shot of that.
But
that is my bronzed ass right there, and it's actually made of bronze. It's very heavy.
Mm-hmm. I may have Instagrammed a picture of it yesterday.
Oh, my God. Can I just say, for how many dreams could a comedian have? If I could die that way, I would be so happy. Right?
It would be like
the funeral of Chuckles the Clown on Mary Tyler Moore.
Ass.
You guys would all be there, and right? Funeral organ, please.
It's the type of story that we would report on every day. Comedian killed by her own ass.
Right. Right. Jim, of course, would give the eulogy. There would have to be a lot of voices involved.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to stop eating banana bread. But,
it's so good, though.
Wouldn't it be the Chuckles the Clown funeral? It would. It would just be like we're all gathered here in memory of our friend Stephanie, who, of course, as we know, was killed by her ass earlier this week during the 4.4 earthquake.
Her bronzed ass.
Yeah, come on, right? Please, a girl can dream. As you know, all of my previous dreams have died, Chris. This is the only one left now.
That involves
that I die in some sort of really funny way.
That would be funny.
Okay, that would be funny. Why did I place that ass right above my head in earthquake country?
I have no idea.
Death wish? Who can say? All right. Yeah, that was. I was surprised. All the local anchors freaked out. There were a lot of desk dives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun though.
And Chris is accusing me of screaming like a little girl the whole time.
We did.
We heard you shriek.
There was a caller on the phone. He would not stop talking about black boxes recording over themselves every 2 hours. I'm like, I'm trying to find out how big the earthquake was.
This is Ghost Plane Week is the most awesome for radio screeners everywhere.
Yeah.
Just, really? And
you're
what else
you're
do you
an
think
expert,
happened?
Really? You've flown a plane before.
Every single person that called was a pilot. It's weird. You're here because you said the biggest story, of course.
Yes, I'm wearing a shirt just for it. I'm wearing my Brony shirt. Solidarity.
Travis Bone, associate producer. Phone screener is a Brony.
He is.
Which is, explain, for the...
A boy who likes My Little Pony. A bro who likes My Little Pony.
Right.
Why do you like this?
Because friendship is magic.
Ah, right.
Which
right.
I could... I really...
My God.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I think I could get the star of the show booked on here if you let me bring her in.
Well, so you don't know my friends.
She's voiceover talent.
Who's she? Someone I know?
Tara Strong.
Oh, I know Tara. Of course I do.
Yeah, Carlos Alzraki's friends with her.
Oh, my God. It's voice person talk. Okay.
For years.
See? He's on it.
Welcome to voiceover talk.
She's cute and blonde.
She is.
A lot of people talking. Please don't distract him this early.
Enormous tracts of land.
Now look at him. His pants are tight.
Hey, I've got one.
That's just
not
from the banana bread.
It's not the banana bread.
Dreams can come true.
Okay, so this is the story everyone's talking about.
Yes.
This is Asheville, our beloved Asheville, North Carolina.
That's right.
This can't happen in my beloved Asheville. We need to have a revolution. See, because we're on 8:80 a.m., the revolution in Asheville. Uh-huh. And so,
you say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
School bans bullied 9-year-old boy for carrying a My Little Pony lunch bag.
This is kind of awful.
Travis brings his every day. Nobody says anything. We shove him once in a while, but we do that anyway.
Max and Fred give me a dirty look, but I think they want what's in it.
But Travis has to reach on pretty much anybody. You get
that's true.
He's
very tall.
10 feet away.
I just hold him away like in a cartoon.
I shove Travis into my bronzed ass every now and again, but that's just for fun.
Right.
That's, well, that's foreplay, isn't it?
Has a spark just ignited between Travis and I this morning?
Wow.
What's happening?
That's awkward.
Wow.
I highly doubt that.
It was a magical earthquake.
It's exactly the rays of... Okay, never mind.
I've been trying to book Marcus Bachman. He's been talking to me about praying away stuff. I don't
know. Get on that for the June Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis. Okay, a 9-year-old My Little Pony Friendship is Magic fan, because friendship is magic, as we've already learned.
Apparently.
Will not be allowed to bring his favorite lunch sack to school anymore because administrators say it's a bullying magnet that leads to class disruptions. Grayson Bruce... That's
how about
name.
Telling the bullies to cut it out?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. That's
it's
what his mom
fault.
Said.
Not solving the problem. There's bullies at the school.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like the cause of bullying is being in elementary school. Yes. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Grayson.
Junior high.
Yeah, Grayson Bruce says he's been bullied at his North Carolina elementary school. It's gotten worse since he started carrying his Rainbow Dash bag. Mm. He said they're taking it a little too far with punching.
Oh, that is the gay one. Rainbow Dash.
She's the butch little lesbian.
Okay,
girl
but
pony.
Like you said, tell the bullies to cut it out.
She's a little sporty jock pony. Taco Tuesday over there. Calm down.
She's the girl boy pony.
Boys, she plays for your team.
Don't fight.
She plays for your team.
All the bronies are beautiful.
This is getting too weird.
All right.
Well, what do you think My Little Pony
Listen,
is?
Listen, we're going to have to talk about brackets in a second for Jim. Yeah. Who do you like in the brackets?
Yeah,
I can tell my boy nephew is living with me because my DVR is full. It's all bracketology. I'm like, is everything basketball on this?
Apparently.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, the school says it's continuing to take steps to stop the bullying, but the first step it took was to tell him to leave his pony gear at home because it's a trigger for bullying. Grayson's mom said saying a lunchbox is a trigger for bullying is like saying a short skirt is a trigger for rape. It's flawed logic. It doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
Back on, sister.
Shouldn't have the sign on his butt that says "kick me," though. I would have that taken off. Yeah.
A Facebook page started by Grayson's friends. I'm guessing including. T-Bone.
I may have gone and liked it this morning.
Oh, great. May have.
Sources
caught the attention of the Brony community. It's nearly 16,000 fans supporting him. So, Grayson, carry your rainbow. Which was the what was the Tinky Winky with the?
Those were Teletubbies.
Right. He was the one that carried a purse that everybody in the
Tinky
right
Winky
wing
did. Yes.
Yeah, went gotten enraged about. Right wing heads exploding.
This is a cause that everyone can get behind, though. Glenn Beck is supporting this kid.
Really?
See?
Yeah.
A stop
Why?
Clock is right twice a day.
Why is he supporting him?
Maybe he was bullied, too.
What's in it for him?
Maybe he's a Brony fan.
It could be.
No, I think he has one of those My Little Pony sex toys in his bedside drawer.
Mm.
You are not basing that on anything.
Hey! Mindless speculation. It's what he does on his show.
That's right.
Day.
Some people say.
He gets paid a lot of money to do that.
That's right.
Well,
I bet you he would scream like a little girl during an earthquake.
Yes, he would.
Right? I bet you he would just start screaming like selling gold and I don't
Damn
know what
you
else.
Obama!
He'd blame Obama first.
Yeah.
Obama, Benghazi, and Obamacare.
Yeah, we got lots of fan mail about how we are the bravest, the handsomest, most romanticest of morning show.
Rick Moranis?
Nick? No.
Yeah, we posted the video of it. It's a short little video of it up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, this is one of the many letters we got from Jody in New Jersey. Steph, you guys are so much braver than all of the other news anchors in L.A. You guys look like superheroes next to these anchors during the quake.
Ooh!
Oh,
Poor Chris Shadow.
My favorite is him, them recovering. Like, you know, when you trip. When yeah. he's like, oh, all right, well, we go.
All right, we're fine. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Sports. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's go right to the Earthquake Central. Let's go to our seismology.
Yeah.
It's like, it's too late. You already look like a great big puss.
That screenshot will stay there forever.
Ooh.
I might have made that my profile picture.
He might have? Just like he might have liked the
yeah,
brony face.
You know.
Yeah, but Jim, this is all in your territory. I was like, I saw this headline. Have we been in an earthquake drought?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, it looks like a sign of more to come.
Things seem to be waking up.
It was earthquake weather this weekend.
Right. And you'll be happy to know some of the fault lines are there, like, right there.
That's right.
The Hollywood fault line is right there.
But yeah. This one was centered under the Santa Monica Mountains.
Yeah. But this one wasn't on any known fault.
Oh.
Surprise.
We may need to get on a ghost plane and get the hell out of here.
Mother Jones asked this morning if it was fracking.
I thought about that.
I thought about that, too.
Because we've been doing fracking in California, which last thing we need, because...
It'd be the perfect place, because it's already earthquake country, so they'll be like, it's not the fracking.
It's not us.
We didn't do it.
Yeah.
Blame the guy upstairs, huh?
That's a little harder to sell. There's always been earthquakes in Oklahoma and Pennsylvania. What? Yeah, so that's scary. That's scary. Could be.
Plus, they poison the groundwater when they frack, and that's one thing we really need is fresh water.
Yeah. You know what? We know what Fred really needs? Banana bread, clearly, because he is burrowing a hole in your side.
He's going to frack under the table to get to the banana bread from below.
All right. We had to all get all that out of our system because I cannot get enough of Ghost Plane now.
Yeah.
Can we get somebody on? Get me a plane person.
I'm sure someone will call if I go out there and open the phone.
Right. Well, everyone that calls will already be a pilot. But
yeah, we know that.
Did you hear both Randy Rhodes, Ed Schultz, they both think the plane has landed somewhere?
That's what I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah. The good news would be if everybody's alive, but
that's
incredible.
I mean, if the guy wanted to dive into the ocean and kill everybody, he would have done it.
Why would you fly for 7 hours and have this elaborate plan and, yeah, whatever.
Avoid satellites, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Kazakhstan sounds like it.
But, yeah, and Ed's a pilot, and he said it's BS that you can't land at night. That, you know, they were saying there are military bases, places.
Wouldn't our spy satellites have seen something?
You would think.
That's what I mean. It just seems incredible. You're like, wow, could you really pull this off? But I don't know. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just incredible.
I think they had a Romulan cloaking device.
Oh,
you think so?
Sure.
I think, and that's the best guess.
Chris doesn't
that's
know
what this is a story
is.
Built for talk radio because it's 3 hours of mindless speculation.
That's right.
Who can say? Nobody's wrong. Nobody's right. Okay. All right. Good luck on the phones, Brony. Okay. Friendship is magic, especially your little friends on the phone.
I think Sparkle Pony took over the plane.
Go have fun. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
The Raspberries.
Pardon me?
The what?
That's the band. The Raspberries.
Oh,
is this the Raspberries?
I think so. Wait a minute. No.
That was the Zombies.
Oh, no. That. No. Wait a minute. Not the Raspberries. Who am I thinking of?
All right. Ooh, earthquake. Just kidding.
Ooh. Yeah, it was about this time yesterday morning.
Yeah, it was exactly at this time.
Yeah.
By the way, we applaud the earthquake for happening while we were live on the air. Yeah. Led to a great clip that we posted on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And Natan will probably post it. It'll be during the breaks on the show today, right? So you can review yesterday's shenanigans.
It was just on.
Oh, it's just on. Oh, some people are confused. There's not so many. What are the filler
PSAs.
Things normally? Right. So there's not so many PSAs. We air clips of the day before.
Right.
During today's show, you're not on acid.
Well, maybe you are.
Well,
but how would you know?
I can't speak for you. So it may be both, but no. All right. It's just a little, it's a day in review. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Cordell in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, everybody. It's the assistant, soon-to-be-produced screenwriter, Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, my God. It was, I watched yesterday when the earthquake happened, and it just gave me an eerie flashback to an earthquake that we had in Louisville back in 2008. We actually had a 5.2 magnitude earthquake strike the city. And you're going to think...
Are you sure Mitch McConnell wasn't having a family reunion and there was a lot of traffic from the Galapagos?
I don't know. I don't have any evidence to support that a turtle can actually cause an earthquake, so I defer to the experts on that.
I think it was caused by a collapsing turtle tunnel.
Yeah, that's what happened. A turtle tunnel collapsed right outside Louisville. But all right, thank you.
Turtle tunnel.
It's funny because Mitch McConnell looks like a turtle. Okay, this is the story Jim is reading in the LA Times. You know when he goes to something before the... crossword,
yeah,
Jim?
Then it's
Chris,
something.
Something's
right on the front page. 4.4 quake, a wake-up call in L.A.'s faults. Residents get off with a warning to be prepared, which I've been thinking about doing for decades.
During the commercial break, I'll go in and show you my really paltry earthquake preparedness stuff in there that's just,
here's,
you know,
a sandwich from 2003.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just keep taking stuff from it, and you're like, I don't. What
a bag
the hell?
Of chips.
This isn't gonna.
One of those little mini bar bottles of water.
Right. It's nothing. I'm screwed if there's an earthquake.
That little juice box thing.
Well, because you know how there's some people that are really, really good in emergencies. They get really clear, and I'm an emergency spaz.
Are you?
I mostly just, that's my job, is I just spaz out.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the trick is to fix all your pictures with that putty stuff.
Oh,
museum
right.
Putty and,
yeah, I'll get on that right after.
Make sure that you have food and water stored. And
I don't think
by
museum
the way,
putty will keep that butt from hitting around the head.
No.
Stephanie
Miller, killed by her own ass.
Other people have died from a piece of ass, but this was too literal. All right. Wait, what was I saying? I don't remember. Now you've thrown me off entirely. Yes, the earthquake drought. This is a new term that I haven't heard before. Seismologists say Monday's 4.4 earthquake near Westwood could mark the beginning of the end for L.A.'s years-long earthquake drought. What now? Typically, they would expect a 4.4 size quake about once a year in the L.A. basin, but there hasn't happened for years. We are officially in an earthquake drought. The location is somewhat surprising. It's within the Santa Monica Mountains, said a seismologist. We have not seen seismicity. Ooh, is that what it's called? Seismicity.
Wow, that's a new word to me.
In recent times, it has been dormant for quite some time.
Synchronicity.
The largest and most dangerous earthquake fault closest to Monday's quake is the Santa Monica Fault, which could produce a 7.0.
Oof, yikes.
Underneath Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah,
which is
that'll be...
Right there.
You think traffic is bad now on Santa Monica.
Right there. Okay. The chance of Monday's quake causing such a massive shaker on the Santa Monica Fault, though, is small, though. There was a 5% chance just after the quake. That risk will fall to 1% by this morning. I'm not sure what time.
It's been 24 hours.
Also close by the Hollywood Fault, which is even closer. It's right
there.
Near along Hollywood Boulevard. All right. So all of that and latest on Ghost Plane as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The woman whose most significant achievement is memorizing the Cheesecake Factory menu.
Does that include banana bread?
It is the banana bread, America? Here.
Yeah.
It's right in front of
us. It's really good, too.
I think that's why both dogs are right underneath me like alligators. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a crumb. I know it's going to be a crumb.
There's going to be a crumb.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I love the, they rush out to interview people about their reaction to the earthquake yesterday. Yeah. Did you see that? Woo! Earthquake. That's Jim's impression. It's only visual, Radio Land, of the L.A. anchor.
Chris Schauble.
We pointed up before he dove under the desk. Seriously, are we just too old or tired to have reacted?
Well, we don't have
we got points for bravery.
We don't have the heavy lights right over our heads.
Right.
Natan would be gone. Trouble,
which would, you know, he's new, so we didn't really care that much. No offense, Natan.
He's wearing his light helmet though, so it'll,
I'm sure you'd be momentarily right hard to replace, but we would have a brief ceremony.
Oh my God, we love you, Natan.
We love you, Natan. What is wrong with me? Never piss off your camera director. Really? Suddenly I get lit like a... All right. Oh, Aaron Green was interviewed. I just figured the upstairs neighbors were getting to it, is what he said. But it was a little more vigorous than normal. Ooh, neighbors are freaks. Pretty surprising, a little scary, too. Yeah, he was...
Wow, the neighbors show up on the Richter scale. That's,
yeah, we thought Travis either dropped the St. Patrick's Day party keg or Max was coming down the stairs.
Yeah.
So we were not alarmed. Mm. Plus, I was still...
drunk.
Right. Yeah. So I was sort of like, oh, something's going on. Okay. kids, guess who's here? Why?
Here he comes. Yep. This is Dino Badala. Yes, it's Dino Badala. Dino Badala.
Hello.
Hey, you guys survived. I was worried. I was under my desk. I live in New York City, but I went right to the desk.
And you're man enough to admit it.
So apparently you survived.
Yes, exactly. We did not have to get on the ghost plane and fly away.
Well, you've been on HLN, so that's tough to do right there. So, I mean, with all the screaming on that network, you can get your earthquake. It's an earthquake.
I wonder how Jane Velez Mitchell covered it.
By yelling louder.
Exactly.
By yelling even louder. Over. Everyone get on the floor. This is how I talk. That's probably at her house.
But, you and I talked about that the first time I was on Jane Velez Mitchell. I did not realize how many other people would be on simultaneously, and suddenly it's like Brady Bunch on crack, and there's like 17 people in boxes next to you screaming.
Now, what does Alice think?
HLN is the Hollering Loudly Network. That's
thank you.
You have to yell. And then I go on other networks, and they go, why are you yelling? I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been on Dr. Drew's show a lot. I've actually had an anchor. And they go, why are you yelling now? I'm sorry. I swear to God, I'm like, I was going Dr. Drew a lot.
Listen.
But, it's a lot of yelling.
It's a niche skill, Dean. It qualifies you for either HLN or Al Sharpton's show. But other than that,
Or the Port Authority in New York City. So I got a new article. It angered a lot of people, worse than an earthquake.
Listen, exactly. You Texans attack Muslim weather. This is hilarious. Shortly after the local news channel in Lubbock, posted a photo on its Facebook page with the caption, Haboob headed toward Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
Haboob, of course, what is it, Dean? It's a word for...
It's a big dust storm.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been used since the 50s for a sandstorm by American meteorologists, but it is an Arabic word, and it means wind. But it's like in a last Mission Impossible movie, that huge windstorm. It looks like a snowstorm, but it's wind coming at you. It's not like a normal sandstorm. It's an actual term from a meteorological point of view, which is much bigger than a normal sandstorm.
Massive sandstorm. I thought it was a big breast and everything I know about sex. The haboob.
The large, angry...
Haboob.
Haboob. Haboob, also in Arabic, slightly the same spelling, means like someone you love, like Habibi.
Ah.
It's lower to like someone's a haboob.
Oh.
But this one's pronounced slightly different, as my girlfriend is from the Middle East here. Uh-huh. Well, I got her on eBay. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
And,
now,
I'll
Dean,
be here all week.
You and, say Texans... Texans began to freak out, taking to Facebook to make clear they aren't fond of Arabs or Muslims, therefore don't want to hear no Middle Eastern term. This is, and you sampled some of it for us, helpfully. Let me see here. I need some appropriate music. Since when do we need to apply Muslim vocabulary to a good old American dirt storm? I take great offense to such terminology. Go back to calling them dirt storms. We move on to, it's called a dust storm. Texas is not raghead country. Never had a haboob till we got that Muslim boob for POTUS.
Oh.
You know who else is in the Middle East?
Oh,
Jesus.
God.
Jesus, yeah.
Wow.
But these guys think he was born in Iowa, so
right.
Let's not ruin it for them.
Wow. So that, and
that
was...
It went on. And that, there was a lot of angry Texans. I wish they would call an earthquake a jihad over there. Just people. This is jihad. Everyone, get on the ground. So they freaked out. And I'm, you know, my takeaway, a couple of things. Can I just say one is... I'm glad they don't give hurricanes Arab names or Muslim names. That would not help hearing Hurricane Mahmoud is coming, and that would make people more angry at my people. So I'm glad I take some solace in the fact that hurricanes are more WASPy names or stripper names or something. I just don't want Muslim names.
I never thought of that. Katrina, Sandy?
Al-Azraqi is actually a Muslim name.
Which one?
Our friend Carlos Al-Azraqi.
Wow.
From when the Moors were in Spain.
Yeah.
Those were
our days.
So you have
back fondly.
Words like Almohada or Alhambra.
He's more of a comedic storm, in my opinion. It's a whirlwind of talent.
If I was around during the Moors, I'd have my own show on HLN.
Right.
I'd be yelling at people as the host, but I'd have you on all the time. Steph. Don't you and the whole crew.
Thank you, Angel. Dean, I did not know. You gave us some Arabic word fun facts.
Yep.
Yes, you said alcohol. My
right.
personal favorite.
Pretty much anything with al in it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alcohol?
Al Gore.
It's from Arabic, yeah.
Algebra?
It's like A-L hyphen.
Al Gore, Al Jazeera.
Ironically, you know, then Muslims are not supposed to drink it, but invented the word, so there you go.
Algebra, coffee, safari, almanac.
A lot more. Admiral. There's a whole bunch of words.
Wow.
Jihad, but you knew that
right.
one.
Right. Yeah. And of course, we use
intifada. What?
We use Arabic numerals as well.
That's right.
We do, but you know what? It's funny. They're not real. It's, you know, to get into that, because people said it to me, and I didn't put that in the article, but they're actually Indian numbers, but we call them Arabic numerals. Like, they really weren't based on the Arabic system. They were based on, we did invent the number zero, which sounds weird, but it was part of inventing algebra. There was no number zero. So everyone started with one, I guess, before some Arab guy, Al. His name was Algebra, I'm not kidding. Said, like, look, why did we go backwards before the one? There's a zero. Like, what? You're crazy. I think they burned him. But then they're like, you know what? That guy was right. There was
algebra, but you,
one. Zero.
You can call me Al.
Call me Al.
Call me Al.
Call me Al.
You say, I wonder if in the same vein of changing French fries to freedom fries, these Arab haters will now call alcohol Texas juice or rename algebra to that thing I failed in school.
That's really where we're going now. You know, they were, there was a lot, if you read all the comments, you're like, you took time out of your useless day. I'm not going to say they had a busy day to write like a long list of comments, and it was the xenophobia on parade, and it became funny. I mean, there's a point where at the beginning, like, this is scary, and then you start laughing, like, these people are just, and the misspellings were kind of funny too, but I have misspellings on Facebook. I'm not saying they're all idiots. I'm just hoping they are, because it'd be worse if they were well-educated and bigots, because that's usually not the combination you see.
By the way, one of the things, the silver linings, the thing that heartened you, is reading some of the hundreds of comments criticizing the bigots posted on the same website in Texas, so there is hope, right?
There is, and you know what? At the end, because I went to the Facebook page and I read everything, because there was an article in USA Today that caught my attention about this, and they just showed the negative comments. So I went to the Facebook page for the Lubbock State TV station, and overwhelmingly, about 10-1, the comments were critical of the bigots going, and they were a lot of Texans going, "You're making us look stupid, you morons."
Wow.
And so that was, to me, I think a few years ago we wouldn't have seen that. You wouldn't have seen these good people come out and post them.
Listen.
Either would have just rolled their eyes or agreed with them or whatever.
So there's more than just Jim Hightower. Good. That's good to know.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a fearful little flower, so I don't really venture into the interwebs very much. Like, you know, well, I mean, comments about me. Someone called me a desperate old crone yesterday online.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm. But
really?
I know, then I'm always heartened by the few people that defend Mama.
Aww.
People are defending, you know, I think people roll their eyes at someone. Like, the more ridiculous the comment, the less you feel like compelled to respond, because you're like, this is a crazy person. But then, you know, in this case, it must have hit a critical mass where there were enough people in Texas, in that area of Lubbock, in fact, going like, hey, you're bigots and shut up. And it's called Don't Be So Freaked Out Over Words. And there were so many great comments. I mean, I even put my article, Remind Me of Martin Luther King's quote, which I always like.
I love that. Yeah, say the quote.
I'll tell you. He said, history will have to record that the greatest tragedy was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. And that's always motivated me about you just don't fight for your own community. I write a great deal of stuff about fighting for rights for gays and lesbians to have the exact same rights as straight people. I mean, I'm a boring straight person.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, Martin Luther King's quote on that is one of my inspirations. Fighting against bigotry, against any religion beyond my own, is, again, inspired on some level by Martin Luther King and that quote that we should stand up for others because we're all in this together. And if we let bigotry go against one group or hate against one group and only defend it when it becomes our own community, well, that's wrong. We've got to build allies.
And by the way, on behalf of my fellow gays, we appreciate you Muslims defending
Thank
us.
Thank you. That's, you know, I'm trying to change the rep of Muslims, not the best, but on gays. But in America, it's fine. I mean, people always say stuff, but what about in Saudi? I'm like, I don't know what they're doing in Saudi. I have no impact on Saudi. But I can tell you in America, if Muslims would say anything about gays, like I saw a right-wing Christian say it, I'd be standing up to those Muslims all the time in this country going, like, shut the hell up, you know.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point. In a country of over 300 million, it's unlikely we'll ever eliminate all racism and prejudice in our great nation. We must, however, remain vigilant in our efforts to marginalize the voices of intolerance. And even if it's on a little Facebook page in Texas somewhere, right? for a local
exactly
station.
It.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great quote by Robert Kennedy who I like a lot, and just paraphrasing. He said, like, one person probably can't change history, but collectively we can all do little things that have an impact on the legacy of our generation.
Yeah.
And that's another quote that's always moved me, the idea that we it's hard. If you're going to sit there going, oh, this doesn't change the world, and I'm not going to do it. You know, but every little retweet and people mock it or posting on Facebook or telling your friend, it adds up little by little. And ultimately, it does tell the story of our generation. So we should do every little thing and not, you know, oh, the selfie generation, they suck. Well, they're doing little things. I perform at colleges all the time. And these kids are really active, you know, in different things. Not
tell
everyone.
Tell them to get off their stoner asses and go vote in the midterm.
My God, I'm trying to work an article right now about Democrats have to channel Frank Underwood. Because at this point, you got to pull out all the stops, buddy, because this is going to be horrible in 2014.
Yeah, exactly. I almost gave away a plot point there, and then I stopped myself.
Oh, really?
It was going to be really funny, though, for those of you that have watched House of Cards. All right, Dean, real quick before we go, it's this hour's mindless moment of speculation about Ghost Plane. What is your theory on Ghost Plane? Where is it?
On Ghost Plane, I think that Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN, has it in his office. He's hiding it just so people keep watching the network.
Right. Awesome.
This is my theory.
Do you think the toy plane that they're using on
CNN?
Do you think the toy plane they're using on CNN was his idea?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I saw the thing with Don Lemon with the toy plane. When you see the plane, it looks stupid. I can understand, though, if I was like a producer or an anchor, I'm like, sure, let me show the toy plane. But then when you sit back and you look at it, you're like, oh, that is stupid. So. But then other networks did, like, a video game, like MSNBC had a video game. So everyone, the ratings are big, so everyone's cashing in. I sadly think the plane is somewhere in the Indian Ocean someplace. I think they made a left turn.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything's other stuff is true about politics or,
yeah,
you know, the fact that he's Muslim.
I was just going to say, Dean, Muslim-sounding
Muslim,
name.
But most of the too. So, I mean, it's not like he did something to attack non-Muslims. I mean, the biggest victims of Muslim terrorism are Muslims. I'm not saying there's Muslim terrorism in this, but overwhelmingly, I think it could have been a suicide or it could have passed out after making a turn from decompression. I saw some theory like that made some sense. And the plane just continued to fly till it ran out of gas and just sank to the ocean.
Yeah.
I blame those meddling kids.
Yeah.
Damn kid, you know.
The ghost plane. Soinks!
I blame Obama, of course. I mean, I don't know about you. But,
Sean Hannity has.
Obama,
yes, Sean Hannity blamed
Crimea, right. This would never happen.
Right.
Right, exactly. No. All right. Dean Obladi Oblada, we love you. Great stuff as
great
usual.
Great chatting with you.
You too, sir. All right, we'll see you next time. There he goes, Dean Obladi Oblada. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
When you call me, you call me out. Call me out.
No, my middle name is not Jazeera.
Stephanie Miller. Oh, I remember that day. I became Al Jazeera, and we were out of a job.
That's all right.
52 minutes after the hour. But now, magically, thank you, Queen Segway. Free speech has brought you back to Mama and the Moogs back to television, and we thank them. And we are in a fun drive. You got it. We got to listen. This is the only place full of corporate, free of corporate influence, right?
Right.
We got Tom Harvey. We got Amy Goodman. We got Bill Press. We got Stephanie Miller. Why am
that
I referring to myself?
Yeah.
Third.
What's
second,
wrong with me?
Fourth person.
Anyway, so what you can do is go to freespeech.org or call 1-877-378-8669. We've got only this week and next week, and we have goals to reach to keep us all on television here. Al Gore urges you to give, please.
Please give generously.
What about you? You have a couple extra dimes, don't you?
Look, I've got a thing I've got to go to now, and it's been nice talking to you.
Okay,
but
bye, Al. Thanks anyway. Oh, we kid the former vice president. All right. Uh-huh. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on that there, try it free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie, won't you? All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Back to mindless speculation about Ghost Plane. Hello, Russell in Asheville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie. I know this may sound crazy, but I got to think about this plane, and if indeed it did, you know, it was hijacked, if you will.
Right.
We got to think why it was hijacked. Now, here's a plane full of people. The 9/11 hijackers actually hijacked planes and then slammed them into the building.
Right.
What happens if they land this plane, fill it up with a dirty bomb, and then take off again? Now they're all of a sudden up in the air, and everybody goes, oh, my God, the plane's back on the radar. What's going on? And all they have to do is look for their target, and
yeah.
I don't really know if we would stop them.
Well, I've heard, Russell, I've heard a lot of that speculation, like what was in the cargo hold even when they took off. Like, it could be related to that. And then you think, are these people alive? If they are they hostages? Is that going to happen at some point? Is it about ransom? I mean, there's so many questions, right?
Well, but what happens if they're actually loading up like a dirty bomb
right.
as we speak,
yeah.
and then getting ready to take off? And then they would be able to kind of use the fact, hey, we've got hostages, we've got this whole plane, don't shoot us down, and that might be just enough time for them to.
Where
they want to go before we do something.
I mean, I think it seems so implausible to people on the surface that it could have landed somewhere. But, I heard a lot of people talking yesterday about, there are all kinds of remote airstrips that they could presumably land.
Which I was talking about with the flight simulator. Maybe this guy was practicing for landing on remote airstrips not meant for something as big as a 777.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we were just saying, maybe it's just me. It just seems weird to me to have your hobby be what your job is.
I'm saying it's not a hobby. He's practicing.
Right, that's
at
what
home.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he could be just a giant geek. I was reading that part. I'm fascinated with this part. Now that I have the home studio, it would be like I did a separate, I practiced a radio show later in the day.
And why would you do that? Because you're crazy.
During cocktail hour, for instance, and that show might be even more entertaining than this one. Just me babbling incoherently to myself down here, just practicing.
Barbara on Twitter has a good question.
Yes.
Has anyone asked Siri where the ghost plane is?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, talk amongst yourselves. Hang on. Okay. All right, hang on. Okay, this is going to take a second.
Okay.
Hang on.
Ask it.
Siri, where is the ghost plane, Malaysia Airlines plane?
Let me think about that. Okay, I found this on the web.
I don't think Siri is involved. Think about that. Who needs to think about it, Siri, unless they're somehow connected?
Huh.
Wow.
Maybe Siri's in the flight.
Thanks, Siri. That was how she just gave me a bunch of news stories
about ghost plane.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fine, Siri. No help. No help at all. Oh, okay. Here it is. So this is what we were talking about. They confiscated a flight simulator from the pilot's home Saturday, also visited the home of the co-pilot. By the way, can I just say, what a bunch of stumblebums in Malaysia, for God's sakes. They keep getting the wrong information.
Well, they're not used to dealing with emergencies like this.
Apparently, they're emergency spazzes like me.
Yes. They don't.
They would totally dive under the desk at the first sign of an earthquake.
Well, sure.
Yeah. But the government, they had first said that was the first police visit to the homes, but the government, which has come under criticism for missteps and foot-dragging and releasing information, issued a statement contradicting that account, saying police first visited the pilots' homes as early as March 9th, the day after the flight disappeared. Yeah, that seemed implausible to me that they had not done that. That would seem to be the first thing you do. They said the flight simulator could signify nothing more than a pilot's zeal for his job. There are people for whom flying is all-consuming, he said, noting some pilots spend their off-duty hours on simulators at home, commenting on pilot blogs or playing fighter pilot video games. Geeks. So it could have been. I mean, it could be completely innocent, I guess, but like you said, Jim, unless he was using it to plan this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, so all the latest on the Malaysian... the Malaysian Airlines flight over Kuala Lumpur. 58 minutes after the hour. All that, Charlie Pierce, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I feel good. Hey, all right now. And I feel
if you're walking on sunshine, shouldn't you have cowbell?
Keep walking, as Christopher walking. I can't get enough of it. Right. We were down to the cowbell as a prop yesterday.
Yeah.
Since we do not have the money for a toy plane.
No.
Here on Free Speech TV, which is why we urge you to go to freespeech.org. We're having a fun drive, ladies and gentlemen.
The doggy bone would work as a plane.
Yeah, I'm offering this. Yeah. Max, this is Max's peanut butter biscuit. You can have this. Peanut butter biscuit. Who wants to get? Go. And we also have awesome Stephanie Miller Show swag. Did you know that?
Mm. Ah, yeah.
It's new. Check it out. We have, for the fine Americans listening to free or watching Free Speech TV, pardon me, $60 donation, you get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. $120 donation, you get the coffee mug and the Stephanie Miller Show messenger bag. You can fill it with Max's peanut butter biscuits.
Great.
$240 donation, the coffee mug, the messenger bag, and the baseball cap. $360 donation, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hoodie sweatshirt. Oh, Stephanie Miller Show hoodie sweatshirt. $1,000 donors. We'll get a meet and greet with me and the Mooks here in the L.A. studio, where the show is produced. After the show, you can join me for lunch and peanut butter biscuits and learn all about how the show is produced.
Or
produced?
Not.
Produced?
Just kind of evolves. It just kind of happens.
Kind of freestyle. It's kind of...
Yeah. It's like a happening, man. It's just, like, you know...
It freaks me out.
Whatever happens.
Talk radio scat singing.
Well, there have been talk shows that have tried to script their entire 3 hours.
Yes. How'd those go?
Yes, there are shows that are scripted for 3 hours. For example...
Don't say. We did watch one, and we were like, are they reading off scripts for 3 hours?
What? It's not a TV show. What are you doing?
When you have 3 hours to fill, you have to sometimes fill it with Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Yeah, you have to...
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
One small step for mankind, one giant leap for...
Oh, no, it's the other Armstrong. It's not a Neil.
Try scripting that, people, huh? Ring the bell. School's in, sucker.
None of the first 2 minutes of this program have been scripted.
Wow, it's so hard to tell. And yet, The Daily Show and others steal from us all the time, and they have an array of Emmy Award-winning writers.
Yeah.
Who you would think are getting paid. You would think we might get a little bit of...
Mitch McConnell as a turtle one morning, and that night he was on Colbert.
Yes. You would think, you know,
magically,
what they would do if they were really liberal givers like we are?
What?
They would give to Free Speech TV as a way of saying thank you, Stephanie and Jim and Chris, for all of the
all
free
the free
jokes.
Material.
All right. Bye-bye. Speaking of sexy liberals, Cody says, Steph, I've been listening, watching your amazing show since the 3-day MSNBC sweat-a-thon.
Yes.
But I bet a lot of money people would have given money if we'd asked for it when I was sweating to death on MSNBC, when we filled in for Imus for 3 days. Mm. They would have been like, what is wrong with her? Oh, my God. Here's a bag of cash.
So that we could buy some cotton pads, gigantic cotton pads to put underneath your arms.
They have wings.
I don't think any human's ever been sent so much antiperspirant as I was that week at MSNBC. I can't wait for my second sexy liberal show in Minneapolis. It's only 2 days after my birthday. I'm saving up for meet and grope. Please bring Jim and Chris so we can grope them. If that wasn't gay enough for June, 4 days later, Cher will be playing in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Are pashminas too warm for June? No.
It's
never too warm for wrinkly green pashmina. P.S. Can I be the official go-go boy of the Stephanie Miller Show? Why, yes, you can.
Computer says yes.
Yes, you can, Cody. All right. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com, to see all the upcoming dates. There's great pictures up. Madison's sold out already. That's our next weekend.
Yep.
But the big one is Chicago Theater. Used to.
We're going.
Mooks are a Mooks. Mooks on patrol. All right. Carlos Alzerati, Sexy Liberal, will be in tomorrow, of course, for Coffee with Carlos. Oh, this is, wow, speaking of the gay, I did not know this, Chris.
What?
This just in, Adele makes people gay.
What?
Says a doctor in the UK.
All right.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, that's, well, you know, just, what's his name? Retired doctor. Don't listen. Just get something about bracketology on there.
Don't listen to this, Jim.
Nothing would work on Jim. He is the biggest sea hound I've ever met in my life. Oh, except for me.
Settle down that you.
Yeah, I think I'm gayer.
Found a girl and you married now.
Not working.
Yeah.
No?
Jim's immune. I think I am. I'm 40% gay.
You're not liking penis?
I'm kind of thinking I want to do Adele now.
What's his name? Oh, retired Dr. John Smid from Texas offers rehab and orders a gay patient to strip his life of the things that encourage him to be gay.
And then just strip.
He throws out his Adele CD. He's kind of gay right there.
Oh, wow.
It's like a gay breakup. Ow! Get rid of it!
Who would get rid of this after a breakup? You listen to this on auto repeat.
Right?
After a breakup.
This is like a lifeline after a breakup. Adele is very popular, he said, within the gay community. You have to listen to Christian music.
Because
that will make you poke your eyes out.
Unless it's composed by Johann Sebastian Bach.
So then no one will want to f*** you because you will have no eyes. Have you ever listened to it? Horrible.
It's not known for its quality.
Smid also makes him ban his tight undies, claiming they will stir his sensuality and make him want sex.
Would do the opposite.
Ow, something's strangling my
head. Sounds like this doctor has thought about this a lot.
Yes, I think he is one of the failed ex-gays that is still right. The action ministry, a lot of people were getting a lot of gay
action
in the
action ministry.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you remember the two guys that founded the first ex-gay movement?
Exodus.
They, ran off.
Together.
In a gay way.
Yeah. The gayest way possible.
Mm-hmm. With a bunch of Adele CDs. And
they smashed many pillows with tennis rackets to no avail.
And what did mother do to them?
Mother, why did you do this to me?
it was the same guy who wanted guys to cuddle on the couch to cuddle the gay away. Right.
Show us on the Ken doll where the bad mother touched you.
Oh, and there's Dr. James Dobson. Remember his pointers for keeping your kids from being gay?
You should shower with your boys and first them to put round pegs in the square holes, and you should show them your penis.
Huh?
Just
what? Sorry?
Jam that peg in there, whether
it's hole
wants
supposed
it
to go in there or not. Yeah.
Wow.
The hole was asking for it.
Yeah, totally. You should see the way the hole was dressed. Bent over that pinball machine.
Wrong. Okay. One more gay stack. Reverend Graham, Franklin Graham.
Oh, the very, very Reverend Franklin
Yes,
Graham.
Obama should be more like Putin on gay rights. They are having quite the big sloppy gay love affair with Putin on the right, aren't they?
Putin, I should point out, again, he was head of the KGB in East Germany. That's the guy you really want to emulate?
Right. He's all the rage these days. Reverend Franklin Graham thinks the Russian lead has a much better record on gay rights than President Obama.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What has happened to America? Really? Graham makes it clear he's not endorsing Putin.
Oh, God. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, well, if he were a choice in 2016, perhaps. But he has quite the laudable record on standing up for traditional values. He favorably notes how Putin took a stand to protect children from gay propaganda by instituting bans, remarking that America's own morality has fallen so far on this issue, Russia's standard is higher than our own. He said, our president and his attorney general have turned their backs on God, and his standards, and many in the Congress, are following in the administration's lead. This is shameful.
Have you seen the film of Putin lifting up a little boy's shirt and kissing his belly?
You know, and it seemed to me he is welcome there as long as he leaves the children alone, but he apparently does not leave the children alone. Belly kissing?
Yeah, I'll bet you Putin has a few Adele CDs.
Think so?
Could be.
I only want the best for you.
Why do I think he said that to a couple of male ice skaters when he was done with them?
I only want the best for you. Let me lift up your shirt.
Ew, stop it. Oh, God.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Oh, God, with that big, too tight plastic surgery face. Get off me.
Ew.
That seems like that made a way to make a little boy straight like that.
Ew.
Yeah.
All guys' faces look like that.
Yeah.
You look like an ant in a wind tunnel.
Smell like vodka and borscht.
Oh, boy. All right, back to Ghost Plane, everybody. So we have been speculating, as people do all morning. Officials revealed a new timeline Monday suggesting the final voice transmission from the cockpit of the missing Malaysian plane may have occurred before any of the communication systems were disabled, adding more uncertainty about who aboard might have been to blame. Because before, I don't know why, first of all, there's so much misinformation. They are a bunch of stumble bums in my
they are?
Estimation.
And yet they're refusing, the Malaysian government is refusing to ask for help. Mm-hmm. In the investigation.
Right. Interesting.
Right. But anyway, obviously that looks suspicious if they thought the stuff was, you know, transponders things were turned off before
right.
they said goodnight. But now there's, I mean, I even heard speculation yesterday that could someone have done this from the ground?
Possible. There probably is a way to do that remotely.
Yeah.
They can do almost anything remotely now.
I mean, how scary is that? They haven't ruled out hijacking, sabotage, or pilot suicide, although we've all ruled out pilot suicide. It just seems a little elaborate, and why would you fly for that many hours and blah, blah, blah?
I don't think I've ruled out pilot
suicide. Oh, you haven't?
No, because it's happened before.
Yeah, but they had plenty of opportunities to do it. I mean, there's no reason to fly for 7 hours.
Right.
They could have dove it, you know.
Why would you make all these efforts
right
to evade radar
right.
and fly for 7 hours?
You could have gotten depressed 4 hours into the...
listening to Adele.
I think I want to crash the plane. Time flies, but not this plane anymore.
I was just feeling slightly down when I left, but now Adele is making me gay and want to crash the plane. Summer haze bound by. Adele crashed the plane. Now we know why. Thanks a lot, Adele. You would cheer up. Maybe you know where the damn plane is. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
So that's why you're adjusting your boobies. You want to jiggle a little bit.
Jim, stop it. You're fresh. You can tell we're in a fun drive because I was. Well, because it's a low-cut shirt.
Yep.
Clearly we're in a fun drive for Free Speech TV. And I'm wearing a sports bra, so there is a way to create the illusion of cleavage. I got in there like a couple of, you know.
I thought sports bras were meant to flatten everything out.
Well, right. That's why I moved them up and over a little bit, so to create the illusion. How's it working?
Yeah, there's some cleavage there.
You still look like a surfboard.
And it kind of lines up with the peace sign there. So it just,
thank you,
know. You.
Have I mentioned that I hate you and your ass face? Bastard person?
Aw.
I kid, of course. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
For a couple things. First of all, Bar Baby number 4 loves airplanes. And he doesn't talk much, but if I send you a video of him playing with his plane, maybe you could put it on or send it to CNN.
Yes, of course.
Does he have a flight simulator?
He has much. Well, I'm going to get him one for his second birthday, you know, and then he'll be ready to go with lots of opinions.
Didn't Don Lemon look a little bit like he was like the feeding the child plane? You know, the here it comes.
It was. I had to look at it twice just to go, oh my God. It's just sad that they do that. But the other thing you missed a very important thing while you guys were away on vacation.
We always do.
I know.
Our leaving creates news.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Well, here in news you've missed, the opponent, the Tea Party opponent to Lindsey Graham, called him ambiguously gay.
Right. And that was outrageous, because what's ambiguous about that?
Well, Saturday Night Live announced yesterday that they are going to be refilming the ambiguously gay duo starring Lindsey Graham and John McCain.
Ah, fantastic.
Awesome.
Okay. And then finally, Steph?
Yes, ma'am.
Leave Travis alone.
Aw.
You're lucky he even screens for you, bastards.
That's true.
Exactly, because Bar Baby number 2 also loves My Little Pony. Okay, fine, she's a 6-year-old girl and he's a grown man. But she's dealing with a lot of queen bee and wannabe issues at the lunch table in first grade.
Right.
And actually, the whole friendship message is really very good.
Friendship is magic.
She's learning how to use her words and state what she wants and how she deserves to be treated.
Yes.
And if that helps Travis, too, I say more power to both of them.
Yes, by the way, he's, you know, all my friends that call on the phone lines. Remember that time I went to the bathroom and he's like, some guy couldn't hang on. He just wanted you to know you're a C word.
Oh, that's not using friendship words nicely.
No. All right. Thank you, Sue.
I'm putting him in timeout.
All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Well, whoever it is that called me a desperate old crone yesterday, not that I'm, you know, stuck on that.
You're getting up there in years.
Desperate old crone. I hope they Chiron me that way next time I'm on
Desperate
CNN.
Old crone.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller.
We're on Jane Velez Mitchell.
Actually, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Okay, George in Pennsylvania on Ghost Plane.
Good morning, Steph.
Yes. Who can you call when there's a ghost plane? Me.
Yeah, 1956, a B-25 bomber crashed outside of Pittsburgh in the Monongahela River. And to this day, they've never been able to find it.
Wow, in a river? In a river?
Yeah.
Wow.
B-25 crashed.
Right after the crash, they had a two-week search. They weren't able to find it. They think it's down there, you know, buried in the muck and mud.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently,
well, you know, the Indian Ocean is the third deepest, right?
Yeah.
George?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Well, listen, I just expected you to instantaneously be an expert on the Indian Ocean. But, yeah, I mean, it is a huge, remote, really deep part of the, you know, ocean, right?
But, you know, it occurs to me that the biggest problem with this Malaysian Air incident is the irreversible damage it's doing to the term breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Somebody else was talking about the Air France jet. There's all these that crashed in the Atlantic in 2009. And that was it took them 2 years, I guess, to find that. And they were saying in that case they were able to rely on distress signals, and that's like the vital tool that's missing here. They're obviously
singing.
Yeah. Right. There was never – I mean, obviously they turned off the – you know, not just the transponder, but the other system that I can't remember the acronym for.
The MCARS thing, I think it's called.
Right.
The
MCARS.
Close enough.
Something.
SCARS.
What's the...
Darm.
Scarsdale diet. No, it's the engines actually report back to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
With a Schmerzking still running system.
Right. Invented by Dr. Flarn.
Flaven.
Harn.
Harn.
Or maybe it was Dr. Fern.
Dr. Fern. It's Harn.
Okay. All right. So we will talk... We will talk ghost plane and much more with Charlie Pierce. Yay. As we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whoa! Oh, my.
Ha! I know that voice.
It was George commenting on my cleavage.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretending like you have cleavage there.
I have the illusion of cleavage. It's good enough. It's Fun Drive Week.
Your
here on
cleavage
Free Speech
TV. Could use the Robin and cloaking device.
Listen, you can't count on Amy Goodman to tart it up for Fled Drive Week. I got to carry all the load here to try to get some cash. All she has is her journalism skills and her facts and her knowledge and her brilliance.
So you're basically the TNA of Free Speech TV.
Yes, I'm the Fruity Pebbles with the illusion of cleavage.
I don't think Amy Goodman has ever tarted anything up.
You're not going to get Tom Hartman in a thong. Listen, people, freespeech.org, let's go.
I might be wearing it under a suit. You don't know.
You don't know Tom Hartman that well.
Louise and I have chatted a little bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Radio events. Okay. Hey, look who's here. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
By the way, people, hurry up, because you never know when I'm going to be killed by my bronze ass during an earthquake. So hurry up and give some money to Free Speech TV. Hi, Charlie Pierce. Good morning, sir.
I never thought I would have to contemplate
Tom Hartman's under things, and I hope I never have to again.
I have rooted through his lacy under things on his houseboat in Portland. That was a long time ago. Listen.
Oh, the Queen says we do not loan out our under things. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
First of all, love letter for Charlie Pierce from Joe in Syracuse. Staff, when Charlie Pierce comes on this week, you have to give him kudos for his part in the ESPN documentary that was on Sunday night on the story of the Big East Conference. Who knew this fantastic liberal was such a sports aficionado? Well,
that's his first.
Everyone knows that,
yeah.
Joe. Oh,
that's
God.
Your first love was sports writing.
Well,
right?
it was not quite my first job in the business, but it was actually my second job. In the
okay,
business, my third and my fourth. But yeah, I mean I did a lot of work there. I enjoy it. I contribute regularly to Grantland. I have a foot in both worlds.
Of course you do.
And in many cases, it's a lot more fun because see, the thing about being
you are astride both in a manly way, may I just say.
Well, no, well, thank you, but in, we will ignore the mirage that is your cleavage. But did you notice how those rhyme, by the way?
Yeah.
Anyway,
mirage,
no, because if
cleavage.
Someone is, like, really incompetent in sports writing, you can, like, write that they're really incompetent, whereas in political writing, you have to find, like, three other sources to say it.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, Charlie Pierce kudos part two. I don't know if you heard it. So the same guy, my listener, that called Ed Schultz and said, you know, about the Keystone Pipeline, don't you read Charlie Pierce?
I heard that in real time, actually.
Right.
I was very crushed that Ed didn't know who I was.
Right. But I'm just saying, then he called back to my show, and you and that guy and I are all taking credit for turning Ed Schultz around on the Keystone Pipeline. I think it was
your... to his credit, he went out there and he talked to a lot of the people I talked to a couple of years ago.
Charlie, that's his cover Johnson. Story. The real thing is the combined pressure of Charlie Pierce
the combined
and Stephanie
Miller. The combined power, which people should send money to maintain. Otherwise, it might peter out.
Thank you, Charlie Pierce. Why, thank you. Let's have plain talk before we get to anything else, because it's all the rage. We were just saying that, obviously they haven't ruled out hijacking, sabotage, or pilot suicide.
Don Lemon hasn't ruled out God.
Mm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or the smoke monster.
Right, or if the flying spaghetti monster perhaps got one of
those. And I have not yet heard the guy from Ancient Aliens chime in.
Maybe.
So I'm holding my fire on this whole thing until I hear from him.
Maybe the flying spaghetti monster
hair?
Got a giant noodly appendage around the plane and pulled it down. Who can say? Because let's skip to what the gobshites are saying these days, because you said it was missing plane week among the nation's thought leaders, and though none of them know any more than your drunk Aunt Kate, opinions abounded, as they will, when hepcats get together. That's the fun thing about this story, right? It seems there's nothing, no right, no wrong.
Nobody knows, yes. Nobody knows, Sully Sullenberger doesn't know anything.
Oh.
If he doesn't know anything about something in aeronautics, I'm going to hold my fire.
Yeah.
Because Sully Sullenberger knows everything.
Exactly.
I caught exactly what you caught, the Representative Peter King saying, I still have questions about the two Iranians who were on the plane, but again, that could be a side issue. You say this from a guy who probably frisks every guy who owns a falafel stand on Fifth Avenue. Yeah, I love that, because they've already said there's no, not cleared those guys, right, but said there's no terrorist connections, but of course,
as near as we can tell, these two guys, one guy seems to have been trying to get to Germany to rejoin his mother.
Right.
Or that was the last I heard, anyway.
Right, right. Here's
That doesn't keep CNN from, endlessly, and all the cable nets from endlessly recycling nothing.
Right, right. I love your Disco Dave's dance party. The primary theme there was President Obama, wuss or weenie, in the midst of the airplane talk. I love it. David Gregory actually said this is because the situation in the Ukraine is very similar to the situation with the Malaysian airliner. Nobody really knows what to do about either one, so it's time to add a little water and instant expertise, as you write. I mean, it is amazing, right? That they're just that, and that's what these Sunday shows are anyway, right? People just pull stuff out of
this is a radical demonstration of what they are anyway, which is basically kind of unmoored opinion.
Yeah,
and the ability to catapult nonsense into the dialogue. Nobody knows what to do. I mean, nobody knows what to do with the Ukraine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing the president has done what he can do.
Yeah.
And as I think I wrote, it's easy to keep all your options open if you only have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I love what you wrote. You said the president today took the only action open to him, knowing full well that it's not going to be enough because nothing's ever enough. And what about Benghazi anyway? I mean, but as you said, these sanctions, you say something of a shrewd move, right?
Well, I think, I don't know, maybe if he can sow a little, dissension among the various thieves who run the Russian government, You know, that may be all he can. That may be all he can hope for.
You say make some of the pirates turn on some of the others, right?
I mean, we got John McCain already talking about sending military aid to the Ukraine and a few, what do you call them, technical support or something, which certainly sounds like advisors in the jungle to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Ted Cruz wants to put anti-ballistic missiles in Poland, as though that would have done made any difference.
Yeah. Well, you say.
I mean, aside the fact it don't work.
Yeah. I love this line. You say the concept of doing things by degrees is lost on Senator Grumpy. He must scald or freeze every time he gets in the shower. There's no in between, right? Like, you gotta.
No, remember yeah. 2008 where he, you know, suspended the campaign and flew to Washington to solve the fiscal crisis and had no idea how to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, there isn't enough blowing up yet, as you say, he has arms to peddle.
No, he wants to do something because that's leadership. He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing.
Bomb, 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 Iran.
Yeah, yeah. By the by, I did not know there would be more. You said the last reason not to vote for Chris Christie, and it was what he said at the CPAC.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It's the report in The Nation by Lee Fang about how Chris Christie's first.
Oh, right.
You know, the creation myth of Chris Christie is that he did this pension reform in the face, you know, in a bipartisan fashion, in the face of the resistance from the Public Employees Union, and the firefighters booed him at the start of his speech and cheered him at the end and blah, blah, blah. Lee Fang points out that he shuffled a lot of that pension money into hedge funds run by his cronies.
Huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That should be it. I mean, that should be the end of the campaign.
Yeah. As if we needed more, right? But, yeah. By the way, speaking of elections, I love your take on Senator McDreamy, as you call him, Scott Brown. You say back when he was on the way to...
How can we miss you if you won't go away?
Yeah. Back when he was on his way getting to his pink leather shorts kicked by Senator Professor Warren, he agreed to that clean campaign pledge, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Noah?
Yeah, and to his credit and to her credit, that actually helped.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really stupid idea at the time, but it really helped.
Yeah, he. Checking the polls right now, he doesn't seem to have much of a chance in New Hampshire, does he?
No, Jean Shaheen started out as a field organizer in New Hampshire. She's been wiring that state for one candidate or another, including herself, for 40 years.
Right.
I mean, she knows exactly how many votes are at exactly how many pancake breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he just moved there 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Now I'm sure that it'll be an expensive race. But right now he's anywhere between 9 and 13 points behind.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Republican base in New Hampshire isn't real fond of him.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, I I think Senator Professor Warren had some thoughts on all that, didn't she?
the day he announced his exploratory committee, she blasted out an email raising money for Xi Jinping.
Yeah. Exactly. By the way, it's always hard
to
pick.
She's a grudge holding mama. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
By the way, it's always hard to pick up my favorite Charlie Pierce section from this week, but I will have to say it is the piece on Charles Krauthammer on Meet the Press. You said that David Gregory quotes him, conservative Charles Krauthammer calling it Obama's fruitless accommodation in Russia. Does it invite Russia's Putin to take action he's taken or Assad to feel like he's got more staying power when the president doesn't follow through with Syria? And then you say Senator Dick Durbin stepped in here briefly to remind the dancing master that Charles Krauthammer is a bloodthirsty. I'm not even sure what this word is.
Almadon. It's an Irish curse word.
Who drinks the innocent blood of infants to remain alive? I'm paraphrasing. you have no actual information on that. You're just saying.
I have no. I know as much about that as I do about the Malaysian airline.
I know, but you quote Durbin as saying, when the president asked for the authority for military action to stop chemical weapons in Syria, it was hard to get. In fact, we couldn't achieve it on the House or the Senate. We couldn't get a bipartisan consensus behind foreign policy. And as you quote Senator Flake, I voted to give the president authority.
Have fun in your next primary, Jeff.
And one final thing about upcoming election, 2016, you said you had some advice for the people of Iowa. You said maybe you hay shakers should stop showing up every 4 years and caucusing for a colossal like Rick Santorum. That might help the process.
Yeah, they sent some guy out, one of their reporters out to Iowa to talk to real people in a cafe.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, about a year early. I mean, we don't. There's a holy line of demarcation about when you go talk to people in cafes in Iowa, and it's a year before the election, not 2 years before the election.
Yeah, Yeah, it's always illustrative. Charlie Pierce, I hope by next week we will have get more mindless speculation about the ghost plane to talk about.
Hey, listen, send boatloads of money to this program, you people.
Thank you.
Boatloads of money to Stephanie, and then maybe some week we'll have some pole dancing or something.
Or plane loads, just as long as they're not a ghost plane.
Yes. Send me a ghost plane full of money. All right, love you, Charlie Pierce. You're
See
the greatest.
See you later. Bye,
guys. Charlie.
Ever.
Aww.
He does. He has a manly, lumberjacky type stance. He has one foot in liberalism, one in sports.
Yeah.
I thought he was so rugged.
I bet you he's all about the brackets.
Yeah. Boy. By the way, is Warren Buffett, he's still offering the $1 billion to whoever guesses everything right in the brackets? Did you hear about that? Don't you feel like he's just taunting us with his money now?
That sounds only like if they have sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads.
That sounds like a sports story, so I probably glossed over that.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Call Charlie Pierce.
Okay.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
There it is.
Right here. Here it is. Yep. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, correction from Ralph, everybody. So the system we were talking about, not the transponder, the ACARS.
ACARS.
Invented by Dr. Ferrer. Is actually the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's okay. What we meant. That's exactly what we meant. Thank you, Ralph. Okay. Oh, Chris and Yankton defending me from the person that called me a desperate old crone yesterday.
Okay.
Guys, Lillian Gish called indignant to say her close friend Stephanie Miller is not an old crone. Of course, she said it by mouthing it inaudibly, holding up a title card with the word Yeti. All right, Chris.
What did Dorothy Gish have to say about it?
Rocky Mountain Mike says, Steph, could it not be that the pilot of the missing airliner simply didn't want to get caught in any of that funky going down in the city?
Oh, could be.
That might be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Big old jet airliner.
Right. Okay. Rick in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Steph. Good morning, Nukes. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good timing. I drive a delivery van, and I just got to a recycle place, and the guy's driving a refrigerator in a tub. Anyway, my comment was I heard Sarah Palin speaking on the Koch brothers the other day, and I saw a quote of hers that said, she's awful glad that they have a couple of billionaires on their side because all of the billionaires seem to be on the left, so they have a couple of billionaires on their side, the Koch brothers. Mm. That helps even the playing field a bit.
Wow, what an idiot.
Ah, interesting.
That's exactly what I thought.
That's wow. Maybe the stupidest thing she ever said.
Wow,
saying
that
something.
Is a yeah. lot. Yes, indeed. I can't even find my You Are an Idiot jingle, but it's here somewhere. Here it is.
You are an idiot.
Hack in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Hack.
Stephanie, my sweet Sappy Sugar Plum, how are you?
Hello. Hello.
Yes, well, I have to correct you on one point. Lindsey Graham is, in fact, not gay. He is John McCain's Southern Belle, complete with a ding-dong.
What? What the flavin'?
I don't... What?
All ding right. dong, I love you, Hack. Because we have a lot in common. I'm also called a hack a lot. All right. All right. Yeah, we were saying they have not ruled out hijacking, sabotage, or pilot suicide, although we have, except for Chris, who... Okay.
They haven't ruled out space aliens yet.
That's true.
Or the Illuminati.
They are checking the backgrounds of the 227 passengers and 12 crew members, as well as the ground crew, for personal problems, psychological issues, or links to terrorists. If this ever happened to a flight I was on, who would be suspect number one?
Stephanie Miller.
That's right.
Woo! Psychological issues. the investigation would be cut short. Yeah, it was her. It's clearly her. She's a mess. Listen to 2 minutes of her show. The Malaysian defense minister said he did not rule out that the plane might be discovered intact, as we've been talking about this morning. The fact is that there was no distress signal, no ransom notes, no parties claiming responsibility. There is always hope. These poor families, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting, a few of them have said, you know, and again, whether that's just hope or whether it's actual intuition, a few of them have said, I don't feel like he's dead, whoever the loved one is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just sense that they're alive. And I more and more people, I was saying Randy Rhodes, Ed Schultz have both said they think the plane has landed somewhere, which is...
makes sense to me. I mean, just everything that I've heard about it. Because if they had wanted to crash it into the ocean, they could have done it at any time.
Yeah.
And why make that extreme hairpin turn?
But when you... The other thing, I know there's a lot of them, but when I've heard there are these airstrips, wouldn't that be the first place? Shouldn't they be looking? I mean, and maybe they are.
Satellites.
Well, very few of them.
How many options are there? I heard, there's some little base actually literally in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I mean, there's all...
Is it big enough to land a 777?
Yeah, I mean, Ed Schultz is a pilot. He was saying that yesterday. He was saying that, first of all, it's BS that you can't land at night, or that you can't, a lot of the stuff that people have speculated. And he said, that there are places that are big enough.
A 777.
It's a big damn plane.
That's a big plane, and a lot of runways, commercial runways in America, had to be extended in order to hit them.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but then that would narrow the... wouldn't it? The amount of places that it might have actually landed, you would think wouldn't they be focusing on that as well? It seems like they're just focusing on... having crashed, right? Like the Indian Ocean.
They're assuming that it's at the bottom of the Indian Ocean.
Well, they could also be privy to some information they're not telling us.
Representative Mike McCall, Homeland Security Committee, yesterday.
There's a little bit of nationalistic pride on the part of Malaysia, but I would hope they would let our experts in that really know how to do this stuff to get to the bottom of this. This is too much of a mystery at this point.
Yeah, he's kind of echoing my point. They seem to be a bunch of stumble bumps at this point. Just saying. A little Keystone copy.
You're agreeing with a Republican now.
Yeah, well, on this. I'm
okay.
And here comes Shemp. Oh, look. From the Malaysian Defense Ministry. Mike Boyd, aviation security expert.
The thing to look for is any kind of a landing strip that could take that airplane one time.
See?
The real issue is, where are there runways, current, abandoned, or whatever, say 7,000 feet, where they could land this airplane?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
And again, brings back the flight simulator thing that I was talking about. Maybe
right.
He was working on learning how to land a big plane like that on a runway that's really too short.
Yeah, but then physics come into play.
Yeah,
there's only so much you can do. Runway.
Right, and they know about the left turn, right? You know, the original left turn that they took.
Yeah, it's a hairpin turn that went to the southwest.
But then what? Then I think there's been, you know, some as to which direction they went after that. So that's the other thing, is that would widen the areas that it could have landed, right?
Yeah.
I don't know which character I'm thinking of. Which way did it go?
Which way did it go? Which way did it go?
I think that was either Max or Fred.
That's the Malaysian defense minister.
Which way did it go?
Okay, here's a terrorism analyst yesterday.
What is a potential motive and what can be learned from looking deeply into the background of the pilot, the co-pilot, and anybody else on that plane that had the skill to fly it?
And this is what I was talking about. This is the girlfriend of one of the passengers.
I don't believe that the plane has been crashed. I haven't ever believed that the plane has been crashed. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I don't feel like that's the right answer.
But I think there's still snakes. On the plane.
The snakes have been known
there
to be in Malaysia.
There are a lot of snakes in Malaysia.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. No theory is out of bounds at this point.
A lot of mother effing snakes.
Yes.
In Malaysia.
Somebody said that. No, that there's nothing to be off the table till everything is on the table. So everything is officially on the table.
If Denzel were flying it, he could land it upside down.
Right.
Right? But if Denzel Washington were drunk and flying it, we'd know where it was.
But unfortunately, it was Samuel L. Jackson.
Right. With the snakes.
I'm Sam Rubin. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. David writes, Steph, good Lord, I know your show isn't sports-centric, but it's the NCAAs, for God's sakes. Are you not familiar? I'm familiar.
There's a March Madness thing going
right.
on.
Right, bracketology, I get it.
All I know is that Sir Alex Ferguson should have retired a year later, and David Moyes is in deep doo-doo right now.
Thank you. See, except the occasional gym soccer reference, we would not be considered sports-centric.
Those are just words.
Right. But it gives us an opportunity to say, goal, okay. How could you not be familiar with this, Steph? Literally, it's a room full of mostly black guys. And as a brother, I can report that the brothers love us some Stephanie Miller.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Right here, brothers. I would again like to be the official sports guy, Gling, of the Stephanie Miller Show. David, professionally black since 1965.
Mm.
All right, thank
you. She's just an amateur black before that.
Right.
And like Shirley Temple black.
She only became black after marriage.
What? All right. It's a sexy liberal love letter. Look at this. You know, even some sexy liberal bitches be crazy around the country.
So I've heard.
Mark says, drinks in your honor. Hey, guys, welcome back from vacation. Y'all were much talked about and toasted at today's, this was a few days ago, San Diego Sexy Liberal Union. Here's what's notable about that. We've never had a sexy liberal in San Diego yet.
Right.
God love them. They're forever hopeful. It could happen. Much wine and mojitos were consumed over a lot of political talk and a few fart jokes. It's actually like a meetup.com/San Diego Sexy Liberals with like dashes in between. We'll put up a little thing so you can. I think we signed up at least a half a dozen new podcast subscribers, sold even some more Rokus to watch you guys on Free Speech TV. We're planning a party bus to the next LA event. Can't wait for it to be announced. But we don't know where. You know what? There's a lot of sexy liberal elves planning a lot of sexy liberal things. From your loyal and loving Southern California tribe, Anastasia, Mark, Jeffrey, and 30 more.
Wow.
San Diego Sexy Liberal Reunion Club. They're reuniting. They're just in hope, I suppose. In hope.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Radio Goddess Stephanie
Miller. Carlos Alzraki is in the 2014 tour. By the way, for the few people that have written or whatever, we announced in November and December, Hal has decided to focus on his own stuff in 2014,
That's right.
We wish him well. There is no conspiracy here. There's no ghost plane conspiracy. We love him and his talent and urge you to support all of the stuff that he's doing. He's directing on Lab Rats.
As well as acting. Isn't he still acting in Lab Rats as well?
He is.
Oh, yeah. But he's going to be directing as well. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so we urge you to support him, and there's no there. All right. So lots of goats plane stuff to get to. Here's the latest.
Goats planes? Screaming goat planes?
Ghost planes. David in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hello, Stephanie. Long time, first time.
Well, hello.
Well, I want to give a shout out to iHeart Radio because that's how I'm listening to you from 880 The Revolution in Asheville, North Carolina. Get
Woot.
That out of the way.
Woot. All right, go ahead.
All right, I have a theory about the plane. Maybe there was something secret on board, and Malaysia purposely had it off route, and they're misdirecting us because they can't just not claim a lost 777. You know what I mean?
Wait, go back. I missed that. Wait, who's covering up?
Well, one theory is maybe Malaysia's covering up. They had something secret on board, going somewhere secret, and the plane went down off route, and they knew about it. And they can't just not say we lost a 777. Somebody's going to notice that. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So they've been misdirecting us as to where to search while they go try to find whatever secret they had on that plane.
Yeah, Malaysian government reminds me of the Bush administration. You're just like, is it incompetence or is it or is it evil? I can't tell which is which exactly anymore. Because there has been a lot of misinformation that a lot of people are talking about. And is it deliberate or not? Are they lies?
Misdirection.
Are they just, you know, mistakes?
Look over here.
Yeah.
Or naivete.
Right. But, I mean, it's things that they report one thing and then they go, oh, no. It's, you know, the latest thing being this, the pilot said goodnight after the transponders were turned off. Well, now it turns out it was, you know.
Before.
Right. It was before. So then there's, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it causes suspicion when you get misinformation, whether you think it was deliberate or not. So I heard what was another theory yesterday that there could be some, I don't know, national world security event that we don't know that's going on, that, you know, we'll find out later, right, that this plane had to be diverted. And I mean, it's just, I have to say this right now, it has to be the weirdest story in aviation history, though.
Yeah, but two things that are weird, the whole flight simulator thing and that sharp left-hand turn, hairpin turn, heading somewhere.
Well, and then was it, I don't know which one was first. They went way below airspace, and then they went way above what's...
Well, they're probably ducking radar if they're going
right.
Low.
I mean, that's deliberate. And then we talked about...
And then they supposedly, the high altitude, they, you know, it was just enough not to kill the passengers, but...
But to render them unconscious.
Unconscious. And they could, I'm sure there's a way of blocking the masks from dropping from the ceiling.
Well, they were saying, too, but so that they couldn't communicate, right, with anybody from cell phones. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't know you could that high up, could you? I mean, could you in the middle of wherever they were?
I have no idea.
Well, cell phone technology has changed since 9/11, so maybe.
Well, and again, it depends on where they were. If they were some remote place over the Indian Ocean, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is just unbelievable.
There are no cell phone towers in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Right, that's what I was saying. Yeah. There wouldn't be, I mean, that's just speculation, too, that that's why they went up that high, to make people lose consciousness. I assumed that meant they would die, but then someone was saying, no, it would just make them go to sleep.
Yeah.
But
make them unconscious.
I know, I don't. But then you go, how long does that last, right? Remember the other ghost plane with the golfer?
Yes.
Right.
That was
one,
creepy.
Well, that one.
Everybody lost consciousness and kept flying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which golfer?
Payne Stewart.
Yeah. Ooh, Jim. Wow.
See, sports guy.
See, that was the sports-centric part of the show. Well, we hope you enjoyed it. The teabagger in the Senate race in South Carolina explained to the Daily Beast why he called Lindsey Graham ambiguously gay.
Oh.
Which, as I said, is ridiculous. What is ambiguous about it? He, I didn't miss this one in 2010.
I think he'd be Gary. He's going to be Gary, pretty much. I'm pretty sure.
They, SNL did say they're doing a new ambiguously gay duo.
No.
In 2010, Graham joked to the New York Times, "I know it's really going to upset a lot of gay men. I'm sure hundreds of them are going to be jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, but I ain't available."
What is it about straight guys who think that all gay guys want to sleep with them?
Right. Oh, you mean straight guys like Lindsey Graham?
Yeah. Well, that's why I put it in finger quotes, if you saw that on Free Speech TV.
I was clarifying for our radio audience.
Okay.
The Daily Beast reached out to him.
Yeah, Marcus Brockman straight.
Of course.
The Daily Beast reached out to him for clarification about his ambiguously gay statement. He was all laughs, calling it just a way to push my platform. He went on to say...
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Right.
Oh, God!
He also denied the accusations of homophobia, which immediately followed his remarks. Mm-hmm. He said, "I love gay people."
I bet.
So much to work with there.
If you go to my website, I have a whole spot there about what I think about homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
I have some dear friends that I cherish.
Mm.
Cherish is the word he used to describe how he feels. And I've actually put this to them and say, "Hey, what do you guys think about Senator Graham?" And they say, "Man, that guy's gay." The other candidates all got scared and stuff. They were running to their press people because they don't really know gay people. Gay people are cool. Cherish my gay friends. All right, I just wanted to play that because I like it.
Yeah.
Not as much as Windy, but still I like
Everyone
it.
Everyone knows it's Windy.
What are the chances you had that in your iPod?
Hey, look at that.
I love the association. I have four association songs in my iPod.
That's it, you're cool.
Well,
the contemporaries of the Turtles and Steppenwolf.
It's just so relentlessly happy.
Oh my God, it's just psychotically up with people happy. Everyone knows it's windy. Oh my, he's old enough. Do you remember Up With People?
I remember.
How psychotically relentlessly happy they
used to do the Orange Bowl halftime show.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in Germany when that was happening.
Yeah.
They were just all, they were on something, weren't they? Up with people, they're the best kind of people I know.
Auf mit Leute! No, Germans are not happy. No, Germans.
Doesn't sound as good in German.
No.
It doesn't translate.
It sounds a little too efficient.
All right, we've got off.
Too much Schadenfreude?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. We've gone off the rails. We'll come back and talk about what happened in Crimea. Speaking
Crimea
of
River.
Homophobes and Putin.
Should play some Joe Cocker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Crimea Eight, River.
16 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Yeah.
I don't think milkshake goes with Cordon Bleu.
Khalees, who sings this song,
right,
ran a food truck down at South by Southwest.
Wow.
Thank you for that fun fact.
And did you know that she is a trained saucier from Le Cordon Bleu?
She's saucy. I'll give her that.
She is. I don't think anybody knows that, actually.
I did not know that, Jim. Thank you. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Bernie in Tucson, you're on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bernie.
Hello, you gorgeous crone.
Oh. Thank you.
How about Diego Garcia? It's in the Indian Ocean. It's
right.
United States property, at
exactly.
least. At least.
Oh.
Maybe, mm-hmm. just maybe, there was somebody on the plane we wanted, and so somehow we convinced the pilot.
It's possible.
Come visit us. Mm. And we're hiding it.
That's a very
stretch, of course.
It's
conceivable.
It is conceivable. It's not inconceivable. As someone would say in Princess Bride. Jim, you've got another theory. Go ahead.
Yes, well, a listener sent in an idea that the Malaysian Airlines 370 disappeared using another 777.
I heard this yesterday on Randy Rose. Was it following another plane?
But that's, so you'd have one radar blip. They're so close together that you couldn't tell there were two planes there, which is exactly the theory behind Operation Northwoods in 1962, where they're trying to provoke a war with Cuba. And what they did was send up two planes. One they loaded with supposed students who were, in fact, CIA agents. This is in the it never was realized, but this is the plan. They take off on a supposedly a peace mission to Cuba. They merge the two blips of the two planes, the one with the people on it and one that was a drone filled with explosives. The plane with the people on it would drop down to the Dominican Republic and land.
Yeah.
And they would blow up remotely the other plane. While playing a sort of a pre-taped radio play. Oh, look at all the MiGs, damn you, Fidel, you know, all this stuff, to make it look like Castro had shot down the plane. It was a typical false flag.
Wow.
And they never actually did it.
Why do I?
Mostly because President Kennedy said, you people are nuts, that's not going to happen.
That is a bad idea. Why do I sense Ben Affleck scribbling down this idea for his next film?
They were also going to blow up a couple of buildings in Miami through controlled demolition who would fall into their own footprint. That sounds so familiar.
No. Oh, you see what we did? You see what we did, Chris? You see what we did?
It was like
we
activated the dress rehearsal for 9/11.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Besides the fact that there are so many L's in this story, it is made for Tom Brokaw and also Jim Ward. It is beyond our wildest dreams, this story. All right, so we've been mentioning the other big news. Putin has declared Crimea sovereign and independent.
Huh. All right.
That was so easy-breezy, that election. Let's see. The moves triggered the toughest Western sanctions against Russia since the Cold War, with Washington and the European Union retaliating with asset freezes and travel bans. U.S. President Barack Obama vowing to increase the cost if the Kremlin does not back down. We talked to Charlie Pierce earlier, who said he thinks this is like a shrewd move. It's the smart, among not many options or bad options, it's the best one to see if you can, when you start hitting people's bank accounts in Russia, maybe some of the pirates will turn on each other, as Charlie said.
Oh, you're going to turn on your nose.
Right? It's always National Pirate Day in Russia.
Get your hands on me vodka and borscht.
That would be a Russian pirate, kids. Okay.
All right.
The president yesterday.
Further provocations will achieve nothing except to further isolate Russia and diminish its place in the world.
David Cohen, the Undersecretary of the Treasury, on the...
We have tools now available to us to really ratchet up the economic and financial costs on Russia if we choose to do so.
Yep. All right. Sue in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Don't you guys realize you're stepping on CNN's toes? Aren't they the only ones that are supposed to be speculating about speculation? What are you trying to do, put them out of business?
Yes. That's exactly what we're doing.
Hey, I forgot. I could use Max's peanut butter biscuit, dog biscuit, as the plane today. All right. Thank you, Sue. Sorry, CNN, but I'm coming for you. Here it is. And I can get another biscuit that could be the shadow plane.
There we go.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay.
What do you use for the radio play?
I don't know. All right. The President's carny, Jay Carney. On
the implications of Russia. Accepting Russia's action in not sanctioning Russia, in turning a blind eye to it, are profound for every nation.
And, Senator, why haven't more things gone boom yet? John McCain.
Get some military assistance to Ukrainians, at least so they can defend themselves. Resume the missile defense system in Poland and the Czech Republic. Look at Moldova and Georgia.
Sorry,
Let's
Senator?
Bomb them, too. Let's bomb Moldova.
Didn't
Let me finish! Let me finish!
Didn't that already happen on Dynasty? Oh, no, that was a different place.
No, that was the Moldavia massacre.
Yeah. What? Oh, why didn't we book our favorite Russian dentist lawyer to talk about the situation
Moldovan.
In Russia?
She's not Russian. It's right
Close
next door.
Enough. Let me finish.
By way of Tel Aviv.
We have
Tel Aviv.
In case you've just tuned into the show, we have actually had Orly Tate live in studio twice.
Yeah. Twice. Mm-hmm. We asked her back.
Jim thought she was kind of hot.
Mm. In a milfy kind of way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of milfing on her in the elevator there, talking conspiracy stuff. Oh. So let's see what she thinks about the plane. Let's just not even ask her about Russia.
Wow. What, I wonder what her theory is.
Oh, God.
Travis!
No!
No, 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 no.
No, Travis!
No, 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 no. Don't do that.
If you book her, I'll put the hurt on you.
Oh, my God. He just dropped his Rainbow Dash purse.
Yes, he did.
He's dialing furiously. All right. One of the things we miss, why do we always miss all the best stories? Paul Ryan said something horribly racist last week.
Really?
You heard that. He said, we have got this tailspin of culture in our inner cities, in particular, of men not working, and just generations of men not even thinking about working or learning the value or culture of
work. I think
he's
thinking of men at work without hats, the 80s band. Oh, I merged two of them. Just like the Operation Northwoods.
Right, there you go.
I merged the two bands.
I understand. Uh-huh. So there's a real culture problem here that has to be dealt with. Mm. And everyone said, there's such a hello, dog whistle, just so many culture.
Here, Lassie.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Ooh, peanut butter biscuit. Ooh. Southern strategy, peanut butter biscuit. ignited a salon writing a fairly heated debate over whether he was intentionally trafficking racial cohorts to pander to white conservatives. Ryan claims he spoke inarticulately and thus was misunderstood.
All right, yes.
Aww.
What I meant to say was, aren't they? Blah, 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 blah.
Salon writing, if Ryan was even a little bit aware of how people would interpret his remarks or understood the reaction to them when it exploded online, we just say could say that some conservatives want to play the Southern strategy at least one more round and leave it at that. But, you know, they were saying they think this is worse than that, that this is emblematic of the Republican Party's view, you know. He quotes the 1984 book, The Two-Party South. You start out in 1954 by saying N-word, 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 Lee Atwater said. By 1968, you can't say N-word. He didn't say N-word, by the way. That hurts you. Backfires. So you say stuff like forced busing, states' rights, and all that other stuff. I mean, this is so well documented.
Mm-hmm.
And just awful. 29 minutes after the hour. Peanut butter biscuit. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mark my words, you get rid of the booze, you get rid of...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Uh-oh, we have crossed the conspiracy streams.
Uh-oh.
Right when Jim was explaining the double plane CIA
Operation
thing,
Northwoods.
How that happened, that people are speculating about this latest Malaysia thing. Mm-hmm. Someone's Roku went all...
Kablooey.
And they couldn't see us
on
Free Speech TV or hear us.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just then.
Coincidence?
Funny about that.
Okay. I just did look the camera from Scandal. Okay. 1-8
And a camera pan through glass. Through bezeled glass.
Unless we're not on right now because, I don't know, because Jim was talking about the CIA mission. Yeah. By the way, he was saying that we do have a, he was talking about the, is it an island in the Indian Ocean?
Yeah, Diego Garcia. It's something that's...
Yeah, weird. Apparently it's long enough for the space shuttle to land. Right. It's one of the space shuttle emergency landing
that's
strips.
That's what it was for. Right.
See, and I thought that was the golfer that we were talking about, the other ghost plane, but that was not right. That was Kane
Stewart. Different thing altogether.
It's not a golfer. It's an island, Chris.
Diego Garcia Stewart. Okay.
But talking about the possible places that the flight could have landed.
That makes sense.
Right.
They would have, you know, if there's some malfeasance going on, there's some kind of collusion.
If there could be some connection, is all we're saying. All right. So we were talking about Paul Ryan's horrible dog whistle. Just saying, peanut butter biscuit, Southern states, keep voting Republican. With his, culture about how a lot of men in certain cultures in the inner city.
Here, Lassie. The white parts of Lassie.
Lassie, just the white parts come.
Not the brown parts.
Leave the brown parts in the well with Timmy.
Max and Fred. They can,
yeah, Paul Ryan would love Max and Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who are pure white? Okay. But
Aryan talks.
But Salon making a good point. They said that, you know, there are ways to promote conservative social policies that aren't remotely racialized. They just don't ignite the passions of resentful white people in a politically meaningful way. If I'm wrong, though, conservatives better hope the party doesn't nominate Ryan or any like-minded thinkers in 2016. They said, guess whose program Ryan was a guest on when he stepped in it last week? Why, that fabulously talented Bill Bennett, who once said... Bill Bennett.
Can tell you.
I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime... You could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
Oh, wow. He sells a show?
Oh,
yes.
My
Yes,
God.
That's what I'm told. Yes.
Wow.
You can pick it up in Berchtesgaden, but nowhere else.
Yeah, and then he thinks that he made that okay by right after that. He said, of course that would be horrible.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't do that, abort every black baby.
Wink, wink. Nudge.
Isn't that the more racist thing is that he didn't... It clearly seemed not to get why that was racist, that he was the one that injected race into it.
Yeah.
Like, yes, if you aborted every baby of any race, crime rate would go down because there'd be less people. But, like, what? He's the one that... Okay. All right. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
He's not very bright.
No. No, but apparently but his show is scintillating, I'm told.
If you could listen to paint dry...
Right.
That would be it.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Joey, the door. We forgot to shut the door. Sorry about that.
We can hear Travis out there screening your calls at 1-800-STEP-1-2.
All right. Thank you. Hey. So, by the way, we were talking, we've been talking about midterms, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And I love E.J. Dionne's piece today in the Washington Post, The Politics of Hopelessness, because you know me. Right? Happy clappy.
Yep.
Happy clappy.
You are.
Happy clappy. The reason everybody's freaking out about the Florida race, it's because Democrats didn't turn out. And this is, we cannot give up at this point and get it because the pundits are already saying the Democrats are cooked, right? How many stories like that have we read?
Yeah.
They're cooked. They're going to lose the Senate, the House, blah, 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 blah. EJ writes, listlessness is bad politics. Defensiveness is poor strategy and resignation is never inspiring. You can feel elements of all three descending on President Obama as he fends off attack after attack from his conservative foes who vary the subject depending on the day, the circumstance, and the opportunity. There's reasons why these cartoons pop up with Ghost Plane that the, Republicans are blaming Obama.
Yeah.
Because they blame him for everything. Obama and his party are in danger of allowing Republicans to set the terms of the 2014 election just as they did 4 years ago. Remember? Mm-hmm. Same thing. Turn out all of that. The fog of nasty and depressing advertising threatens to reduce the electorate to a hardcore of older conservative voters eager to hand the president a blistering defeat. And that's what they're saying. Obamacare, where's my thing here? 64% of Americans say Obamacare should remain law. The problem is the people that disagree may be the ones that turn out in mass to vote. And then it looks like, oh, everyone hates Obamacare. Well, everyone doesn't. Let's see. A substantial majority of Americans believe Obamacare should remain the law, either exactly as it is or with small changes, according to a new poll. Remember, we've talked about this polling all the way through this, that some of the people that don't like it is because it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah.
Because they want single payer. So you can't count those as people that hate Obamacare.
Right.
Bloomberg News found the combined 64% of Americans say they support keeping the law in place. That includes 51% who say it should be kept but need some small changes, 13% who say it should be left alone. Only 34% say that it should be repealed entirely. Mm-hmm. So, but again, if that's the only segment that turns out... And Republicans have broadened the assault wherever possible, shamefully but effectively. Many of them made Obama, not Vladimir Putin, the prime culprit in Putin's invasion of Crimea. And this is the problem. Like there are like 6 zillion right-wing radio stations that are not enough where people are saying, right, Putin did the same thing under George Bush, and you didn't say any of this
not
stuff.
A word.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it's up to Media Matters and people like that.
And what's the president supposed to do, bomb Russia?
Yeah, yeah. And on these quote-unquote liberal mainstream, you know, outlets, the Sunday shows, CNN, do you ever hear them bring that up?
Oh, God, no.
Do you ever hear them when they talk, when everybody, Republican after another, blames the president for Russia? Do you ever have them go, yes, well, but in blah, 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 you said this when George Bush...
Oop, your mic is off.
Oops. Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh, look out, earthquake. Despite the large strides in the healthcare website's performance and despite Obama's efforts to regain the initiative with executive action, Republicans remain on the offense. And that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have talked about this. Paul Begala, we mentioned yesterday. The most telling fact, and here it is, about the Democrats' defeat in Florida's special House election last week was the party's failure to get its voters to the polls. This owed to many factors, but one of them is disaffection in Democratic ranks. Yeah, and so, you know, everybody's talking about Obama's 41% approval rating in this one poll. The most disturbing finding to him, E.J. writes, ought to have been the 20% disapproval he registered among Democrats. Winning back three-quarters of those discontented Democrats would all by itself bump his approval rating up by 6 points. It's where he needs to start. So this is what just kills me. Is this what I mean about, it's not that we can't disagree on issues. We just talked about Keystone Pipeline and, you know, people beating up on Ed Schultz. And, and you know, in that case, I'm really glad he changed his mind. But, you know, whether it's Edward Snowden or whatever, I think we need to, this is a really important election year. We just can't go, oh, well, the pundits already said they're going to win and forget it and gerrymandering and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, E.G. finishes, going on offense means first building what Harry Reid is undertaking in his campaign against the Koch brothers and other right-wing millionaires trying to buy themselves a Congress. And that is real. That is really, really important. It's, you know, I mean, Koch brothers' money is not only propping up advertising on right-wing radio shows, by the way, that Rush Limbaugh scared away most of the advertisers for radio.
Thanks, Rush.
Which is slut-a-thon. But that's the thing. They buy stations. They prop up their shows. And they're going to spend... I don't even know how much money in this election cycle on candidates. Anyway, so he just finishes by saying it also means embracing the Affordable Care Act, promising to keep it and improve it, laying out what repeal would actually mean to seniors and enjoying additional the donut hole.
Mm-hmm. Remember campaign finance reform?
Yes.
Whatever happened to that?
To consumers protected from losing insurance because of pre-existing conditions, to adult children now on their parents' health plan, it means counting the cost of what state-level Republicans are doing in blocking 4 to 5 million needy people from the Medicaid expansion. Above all, it means lifting the debate from the hopelessness and exhaustion that are turning millions of Americans away from political engagement. The Hope and Change guy needs to have one more act in him. Yes, that's right. Yes, we can. Let's go. Let's go, Brock.
Yes, we can.
Get some of those campaign songs ready. Remember, Audra did some heart song about Barack to Barracuda, I think. Yeah, go. All right. This concludes the happy clappy segment. Now back to Ghost Plane. let's go to John and Carol. Where is it? Carol, I did the wrong one. Hang on 1 second. John in California.
California, thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hi.
Supreme Court case Flagg Brothers versus Brooks. Chief Justice Rehnquist stated that no essential service, and when he stated essential service, he classified that as fire protection, police protection, income tax collection. No essential service should ever be privatized because inevitably the private entity that carries out that contracting for government is not responsible to the taxpayer. They are responsible to the shareholder. And to maximize profits.
Yeah. Well, this is, I'm sure Jackie Schechner will say it again this week. This is why should not be a private insurance industry. It should be, you know, single payer is really, it just seems to be the only thing that even makes sense. It doesn't even seem, maybe I'm crazy. It doesn't seem to be a liberal or conservative thing. It just seems like a common sense thing. that just not for unless, profit.
Not if you have all the money.
Yeah.
You can understand that is correct and still be crazy.
Oh, thank you. Why, thank you. Thank you. Oh, did you find the Happy Cloudy
song?
I did. Come on. It's. I know it's only, you know, mid-year, midterms, but come on. Come on. Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. He's got the answer to what we need. He's simple, fair, and clean. He's the one we need. Vote for Barack Obama.
Okay, all right, just saying. Come on, let's finish what we started here, people. Here's the old New York Magazine tweeted Jonathan Chait, who I love.
Uh-huh.
A new report shows how young liberals own the future of American politics. So we might be screwed now.
Mm-hmm.
But they will have to save us from ourselves.
Well, yeah, if the Republicans don't do anything to change and attract young people, yeah, they're all going to become liberals.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Only the chillins can help us now. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
When was the last time you were up all night?
How do you know? Taco Tuesday.
It is Taco Tuesday.
It's Chris's t-shirt. All right, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
I missed anyway. Mojito Monday, unfortunately.
Mm.
All right, so Jim has stopped talking about, you know, double plane CIA things, so now we're back up on Free Speech TV. Conspiracy that somehow we went hooey.
Huh.
However, we're stretched horizontally, so now I look fat.
Now we look like we weigh 5,000 pounds.
Well, look at it this way. At least it looks like you now have cleavage.
You know why I have cleavage.
Why?
Because Amy Goodman cannot be trusted to tart it up for Fun Drive week. And I have to pull all the weight around here at Free Speech TV. Fine Americans, it is Fun Drive week for Free Speech TV. Go to freespeech.org or you can call 877-378-8669. And please give their Stephanie Miller swag for all different levels.
Yep.
1,000 clams, you can come and hang out with us here in the studio. Do it. All right.
And you can pet Max and Fred.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Lint rollers on every, right? They're everywhere. They're
yes,
every two
they
inches. Oh, look who's here. Kate of Kate and Audra of Minneapolis.
What?
Is in L.A. Hi, Kate.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. We are your earthquake reporting team here in morning.
That is amazing. We got jolted awake, and I thought that Audra had just farted.
Right. Right.
But, And then we turned your show on, and we're like, it was an earthquake. And we were right below the Hollywood sign. I'm like, of course this is happening when I'm on a cliff.
And we were,
yeah. Actually, the hills are the safest place to be in an earthquake because it's all bedrock.
That's what I heard.
Yep.
That's what I heard.
The hills are the only place that are alive.
And they're alive with the sound of music.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and we're going to see you in Madison and in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. A three-peat step head, sexy liberal.
The stars are aligning.
What's that?
So I finally get to meet you guys in Chicago.
I know. I'm so excited.
Chris and Jim?
I have a work trip, so I got tickets.
OMG. So we will see you next Saturday, March 29th in Madison. We'll see you April 26th in Chicago. And then, June 7th in your hometown of Minneapolis.
Yes.
You are a precious pumpkin face, and we just played one of your Barack songs.
Oh, yay.
Yay. All right. We love you.
Cool.
See you
love
soon.
Love you, too.
Stay safe.
Too.
We're
bye-bye.
The only earthquake reporters in L.A. that are not giant C's.
That's right.
Jim, do it. Do the guy. Earthquake. Earthquake.
Yes.
Okay. And then we all go under the table.
Actually, Mediaite.com has a compilation of all 5 newscasts that were on yesterday morning, and all 5 of them panicked.
You know what? They should have put us in just for comparing and contrast, just because we're not local L.A.,
we're not pusses.
We didn't even blink. We were like,
oh, it was an earthquake. Oh, well.
All right.
And they said, we're on bedrock. Yeah,
in Crimea news.
That's what comes from being old and tired and drunk. We were just like, wow. Okay. Anyway, Jim, I was saying.
One of the channels actually, the earthquake happened, and they're like, oh, what's happening? Okay. And then they toss their next story about dark chocolate. Don't you have like a seismograph dark to put up on the screen or something?
Case of everything.
There are only so many lesbians who'll get up that early in the morning.
That's right.
To report on earthquake.
That's how you know there's been an earthquake here in California. There's a lesbian on the TV.
Dr. Kate from,
right.
from
Dr.
Caltech.
Kate from Caltech.
Yep. Love her.
The seismologists must just get all like excited and like poke themselves in the eye with a pocket protector. Earthquake!
Okay.
Has KTLA called?
Actually, yesterday was the very first test of the early detection system that Caltech is designing.
Oh.
And it did predict it about 2 seconds in advance.
Wow.
Which is not.
I'm going to guess that Dr. Kate had a little mini orgasm.
Well, she might have. But, you know, 2 second advance.
Maybe that's what caused it, the quake.
Maybe it's been a while. And
a 2 second advance warning doesn't sound like much, but if you're on the operating table and a surgeon has two seconds worth of warning to remove the scalpel.
Okay, we're not doing this now.
I wonder if, you know, the first person that called Dr. Kate for reaction got a little.
Oh, God.
Dr. Kate? It's KTLA.
Ooh,
hello?
God.
Are you?
Okay. Oh, yeah, right there.
Oh, wow. Oh. I see what you mean on the seismograph.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
Right. Tara in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tara.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'm so happy to be watching today because I'm actually home because I had gum graft surgery yesterday.
Ooh.
But the good thing is I get to stay home and see you. And I just wanted to tell you I have the same shirt as you, and it just looks a lot better on you.
Why, thank you.
The Nantucket shirt that she's wearing?
Yes.
Yeah, the same one with the little whale, yep.
Yeah, little whale on the boob. There you go.
Do you like Nantucket?
Little Moby Dick on your boob. Right.
Do you like Nantucket?
I love Nantucket. I like Martha's Vineyard better. That's the first time I saw either one of them, but they're you know, what's not fun? Nantucket's kind of Republican, right?
I don't know. I don't really talk to people there. I sort of keep to myself on the beach, you know.
Right. That's because you're a hippie, a Martha's Vineyard liberal. All right. All right. Thank you, honey. By the way, I was trying to, you know, dig through whatever we missed when we were gone.
Yep.
See, the Hillary Clinton, the memos, the 4,000 pages of Clinton library documents that are going to sink her if Benghazi doesn't, Jim?
Right.
Did you see this? They had a wild idea of having her do a guest appearance on Home Improvement, the sitcom.
What? Shocking.
She can't be president. That's...
And Nixon was on Laugh-In.
Yeah.
Maybe she would
shocker
just,
to me.
Maybe she would have just peeked over the fence like the neighbor, though. Maybe she wouldn't have...
she put the hat on her, no the difference.
Right. That would have been funny
if
the peaky neighbor was Hillary Clinton. They didn't go
with
But
Lindsey Graham would have, oh, my stars, how is that even possible?
And garters.
Oh.
The both of them.
Eugene in Ohio. Hello, Eugene.
Hello, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Your Taco Tuesday remind me of an old T-shirt that I had years ago, and... if you want to, I could tell you what it said on it there, but you might have to do maybe a beep or two. That's okay.
No, that's okay.
Okay, all right. Travis thinks Eugene might have been tippling a little tiny bit this morning.
It is Taco Tuesday.
Yes, okay.
Taco and Tequila Tuesday.
Tequila Tuesday as well.
It is every day for Dr. Kate. Hey, what did I mean by that? Let's move on. Uh-huh. Here's what else we missed. Chris, have they sorted this out? The Elizabeth Taylor gay bar war over the shrine portrait that, you know, that hangs in the Abbey.
I've seen that photo, or that painting or whatever.
It's apparently being held hostage by the famous gay club, a lawsuit brewing. The VIP manager of the Abbey said that Elizabeth Taylor personally gave that to him, but the Abbey thought it's theirs. I think
she gave it to the Abbey. She may have handed it to the VIP manager, but
there is a big gay fight. Oh, this may have caused the earthquake. There's a big gay fight going on in West Hollywood. I don't know how that's going to end. It's probably going to be, you know.
Maybe she accidentally handed it to some girl named Abby.
They should, like in Man with Two Brains, they should ask her which she wants, because then it would start spinning on the Abbey wall. No! I don't know. All right. I'm sleepy.
It's not the best painting of her. Ever.
It's creepy.
It is a little creepy.
It's really creepy. The eyes follow you. All right. That's it for us. Don't forget to go to freespeech.org. Please give generously. It's Fun Drive Week here at Free Speech TV. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris, Jim, Natan, Travis. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.